Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the NFL season finale. This is not the Super Bowl post-game show. This is the NFL season finale. As Roger sheds tears in more ways than one. Welcome to two black guys talking about football. How about that?
I like it. It seems like it fits. What's going on?
Welcome to the Av Podcast. I'm joined by the homie, the South Shire family member, Mr. Roger Callender, as he recovers from his team getting the beaks braided up, the brakes beaten off of them, I should say.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It is what it is.
Yeah. It wasn't pretty, Calvin.
It really wasn't.
No.
It really wasn't. But you know what? It's all good. We're still with you in spirit. No, we're not. A lot of people are happy that the Patriots lost that. You know? Yeah. It even broke up Stephon Diggs and Cardi B, man. There you go.
I heard about that, man. They stopped following each other on Twitter. What the hell's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's inviting the other baby mama and on the 50-yard line. It's just a whole mess.
Yeah. So, okay, I just figured Cardi doesn't like a loser, so she said fuck this guy.
Yo, I saw a meme of I guess it was from Fast and Furious. I only watched the first two Fast and Furiouses, but whichever one Ja Rule was in, there's a meme where he's like, "Hey, baby, what's going on?" She's like, "Look out of here! I don't talk to no losers." And everybody's like, "Ooh!" I was like, "Yo, they're killing Diggs, man."
Yeah, I think it was part three guy. Yeah, I remember that one. That was too funny.
It's not his fault, man. It's not his fault. He can't do nothing about that line. That shit was crazy, man. Like, look, we did think it was going to be a defensive game. We knew what it was going to be, and it pretty much was throughout. I mean, it was only up until the fourth quarter, there's only like one offensive touchdown or by the end of three. Well, I guess it was two because I think the Patriots had one right after.
Yeah, I think it was the late third. That's when Drake fumbled it and Seattle ran it back for a touchdown. But yeah, I mean, the first three quarters was close.
That was the fourth.
It was like 9-0 for the longest time. And then, you know, the defense could only stand up so long, right?
Yeah, that's it. As I said, you can only hold. It's like a dam. You can only hold water back for so long.
Yeah,
you know. But what were your thoughts overall on the game?
I was disappointed. Obviously, I mean, you know, I was obviously going for my team, but everything that you and I spoke about the week before that the Patriots could not do, they ended up doing, right? In terms of they had to get to Sam Darnold. They didn't really get to Sam Darnold. Not like he had a spectacular day, but he made plays when he had to. You know, they only got one sack on him. And aside from that, you know, he didn't play fantastic, but, you know, he played good enough to win, that's for sure. They had to stop the run game. They didn't stop the run game. Kenneth Walker ran all over them. He was like, I think he finished with like 135 yards or something like that. Yeah. Like, he ran all over them. And then Drake May had to minimize the turnovers, which obviously did not happen. His O-line played like shit. You know, the two rookies on the left side of his line, the left tackle and the left guard.
Campbell, yeah.
They were rookies, and they just got decimated. Like, they got bull rushed practically on every play. I think Will Campbell gave up the most pressures in that game than any Super Bowl. Something like 14 pressures. Yeah, they were picking him up and just throwing him out of the way. So, I mean, it was embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle's a better team. I knew Seattle was a better team. I always said Seattle was a better team. I just was just hoping that they'd be able to, you know, scheme up something, you know, some sort of offense, and it just didn't happen. It just did not happen. So,
I mean, the thing is they had a shot, right? Like, they had a legitimate shot going into the game just because the defenses were lights out, both of them, right?
Yeah.
Even though Seattle was on paper the better team. That's why even I was like going into the game, I'm like, if like whoever takes care of the ball is most likely going to win. And the Sam Darnold game never came. It never came. I guess that was what was that game where he threw five picks? Was it the Rams? I think that was the game.
Yeah, it was the Rams. I think it was
week in the regular season.
Yeah. And it's not even as if they. It wasn't even as if they weren't getting. They weren't getting to him. Like I counted at least three sacks where they literally like they ran right by him, or he kind of ran out of it. So I mean, he played well enough. Like he didn't turn over the ball. You know, there was no interceptions. There was just one sack compared to Drake May, who got sacked like six times.
Yeah.
And he had two fumbles and one horrible interception. I don't know what the hell he was doing there in the third quarter. That kind of launched it up. It kind of reminded me of
Mr. Reed. Either it was him or the wideout. One of the miscommunication was obviously there.
Yeah. It reminded me of that throw that Josh Allen made when he was going against Denver, and he kind of just chucked it up towards the middle of the field, and the guy the safety just came over and grabbed it. It was exactly like that. Like, I mean, Drake May didn't play well. He was rattled. You know, he kept getting hit over and over again. You know, I feel like he was never comfortable. He was rushing his passes, basically running for his life. They were throwing, Seattle was throwing everything at them. They were blitzing them like crazy. I mean, but even when they weren't blitzing, they were getting pressure with four guys, right? They were doing all sorts of stunts.
Four guys. Yeah. That's it.
They were doing all sorts of stuff. And it was too much for the O-line to take. Like they literally just crumbled. And I think that's basically, you know, that's the whole game. If you don't have a good O-line, you can't run the ball. They weren't able to run the ball. Yep. Drake May couldn't get any protection. So Drake May was basically freaking out back there, throwing passes behind people, getting hit way too much.
He saw the ghost.
Yeah, he did see the ghost, unfortunately. Yeah,
he saw the ghost. But here's the wild thing, though. Like, Seattle, all pretty much the last 2 months, have shown dominance. You know what I mean? Like, they showed their dominance, and they're peaking at the right time. Like, they're defensively, honestly, they were never better. Like, they were peaking at the right time. You want to get hot going into the playoffs, and they follow that script right to the letter. Put the period on top, too. Like, it was... They show dominance, man. And so and then their offense basically is kind of the thing where the offense supported them. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't, you know what I mean? So like they did enough to win. So like when they played the Rams, it was like, even though they scored a lot of points, that like against the Niners, they were killing us. They scored touchdowns, but a lot of it was the turnovers defensively, the field position that got them a lot of those points. The Rams, that was a good game. That was, you know, that was more of a shootout. And Darnold play well, but like the defense was definitely holding his own. Both of them were. And then this game, it was really and truly, it was just, they're just supporting the defense. It wasn't the other way around. Like some other teams that you see each year, like the defense was basically the defense was the MVP.
Yeah.
And the offense was basically just making sure nothing went wrong. You know what I mean? It's like you're driving down the road. You're making sure like there's no police side. there's no police cars at the end, so you don't get a ticket. You know what I mean? Yeah. Use the Waze, Roger. You got the Waze? Yeah, there's a cop 700 meters aside. All right, okay, got you. Like that was the offense.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So but it's funny because I know for myself, normally I'm an offensive guy by nature when it comes to sports, but I will say defensively, I enjoyed watching the playoffs this year with some of these defensive teams. It was great. And I loved it. Like, I loved it for the most part. And I've grown to love it, like, especially as this year, especially. And even with these two defensive teams, I was looking forward to it because I was like, I enjoyed actually watching it.
Yep.
As a casual fan, this wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
Casual fan, this is terrible. It was a terrible watch as a casual fan, as a football fan, and as a sports fan, true avid sports fan.
Yeah,
this is a fun game. Yeah. But like, if you're like the casual fan, like you know, like just some people we know, like my wife was watching it, and she just after us, she's like,
"This is boring." I'm just like,
and not before Seattle pulled away. It's just there was no points. You want to see touchdowns, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, I find the last couple of Super Bowls were like that. So I mean, it was more defensive. And I feel like the league is almost moving more towards like a defensive oriented league, whereas teams are now trying to load more up on their defense because they're realizing that defense travels, especially in the playoffs. If you have a really good defense, then you could set on having an average offense.
Yeah.
Because the offense just has to do just enough to make sure that they win. But the defense is what carries you. I mean, the whole AFC, I felt like this was the story of the whole AFC playoffs. you know, whether it's the Texans, whether it was the Chargers, whether it was Denver, the Broncos, like those defenses, even the Patriots, obviously the Patriots, those defenses carried the team. Like the Patriots defense carried the team throughout the whole playoffs right into the Super Bowl. And they didn't play, they weren't horrible neither. They didn't play bad.
No.
You know, I mean, Gonzalez was amazing. Like he shut down Najigma. Najigma had like three catches, 37 yards. Like, you know what?
Yeah, he made some great plays.
He made some fantastic, like, all-star plays. Like, he's going to get the bag this season. Like, this season, he's going to get the bag 100%. He played amazing. And the defensive line, I mean, they played well enough. But I think what really hurt the Patriots is they don't have enough star power. You know?
Yeah.
And it all leads back to Belichick and his poor drafting. Seattle had, like, you could tell, like, you look on that defense, they had, like, four or five, maybe even six all-stars on that team, right?
Yeah.
The Patriots basically had maybe, like, two guys that were really, really good, and then everybody else was kind of, like, you know, everybody else was, they were okay, but they were able to get by because Vrabel and Daniels, they were able to scheme up the defense and scheme up the offense to make them better, right? But, I mean, the lack of pass rushers, that was shown with the Patriots. The lack of offensive linemen, the whole left side of the line. I mean, you had started two rookies. You know, obviously, they didn't play well enough. The receivers, they weren't really getting any real separation. They looked almost like the receivers from last year, whereas they weren't really getting open. You know, even Stephon Diggs, no real separation. They were jamming him off the line and basically kind of bullying him. You could almost tell Stephon Diggs' age in that Super Bowl.
And stress.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, he got into a fight one time, got punched in the face by one of the defense, by one of the defensive backs. But anyways, New England didn't have enough star power, and they didn't have enough really good players to hang with Seattle. So, I mean, I'm still optimistic because, hey, they were 4-13 this year. They made it to the Super Bowl. Yes,
yeah, it's a loss. You guys arrived early.
Yeah, it's a loss in the Super Bowl, which isn't good. But on the same note, they were in the fucking Super Bowl, man. How could I complain about that, right? Seattle did what they've done to practically every team they faced this year.
So, I mean, so you didn't cry when they lost?
I was pissed. I was angry. I haven't logged on to Twitter nor YouTube since it happened, because I'm like, fuck everybody.
You just were watching the news.
I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to see everybody. You know, I know.
Yeah, just chatting on CP24 the whole time.
Basically, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to hear everybody talking their shit. But I mean, it is what it is. People love to hate the Patriots, and this is just one more reasons why they hate them, right? You know. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen all sorts of hate for Drake May and Will Campbell and stuff like that. And it's like, guys, Drake May is a second-year player. Like, this is basically almost like his rookie year because he only played four or five games last year, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that they made it this far and he was one step away, one vote away from MVP is spectacular. Especially considering he had like no O-line. His run game was like 30. I think they were like 29th or 28th in the league. He basically carried that whole team. So if he wasn't going to pull it off, and Seattle even said that. They said, we know that if we stop Drake May, they wouldn't win because he is the whole offense. They basically said that. There's nobody else there that scares them.
They're going to get some weapons from him, I'm sure. I don't think they're going to do it the Belichick way. He's not there anymore, right? So they're going to get some guys. Whether it's through the draft or free agency, they're gonna get some studs, especially offensively.
Absolutely.
Your boy Will Campbell. How rough was his playoff experience for him? Has anybody checked on him? Is he okay?
Poor guy. Poor guy left the field. Didn't say anything to the media. He just kind of disappeared. I felt bad for him. I did feel bad for him. I mean, he didn't play well at all. Rumor has it now that he tore his before the playoffs started, he tore his, not ACL, it's his MCL or something like that. There's a slight tear in his MCL. Now they're saying that he was playing in the playoffs injured. And that's one of the reasons why he's
so quiet. Gotta save him.
I guess so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what else can they say? The only thing I could say is if he was injured, he shouldn't have been in there. Like, I don't care. Put in the second or third guy, you know, because he got dominated. I mean, he is a rookie, and he did play, like, literally the top four defenses in the league in the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, he's the Texans' best pass rush in the league. Broncos has the most sacks in the league. Seahawks, they were the leading scoring defense in the league. And the Chargers were like the top fifth defense in the league. So, I mean, they played the top defenses in the league with the top pass rushers, best defensive backs, and so on. So, I mean, I knew he was going to struggle. I just hoped it wasn't as bad as he did because he was terrible. Like, I thought they should have pulled him during halftime and put in Vadarian Lowe, their backup, because Vadarian Lowe is a little bit bigger than him, stronger, heavier than him. I just want somebody to just stand inside their way and just slow somebody down, because the way they were blitzing and the tackles were just literally, I don't know if you saw that one, that play where I think they blew it offside because Will Campbell flinched, but the defensive end still came, grabbed him and kind of vaulted him, like literally pushed him. He flew up in the air and he hit fucking Drake May. And he really knocked Drake May down, and I was like, "This is not good." They need to figure that. They need to figure out the position. They need to.
Yeah, he's also good. Well, he's gonna have to get surgery on his knees. He's also gonna have to get arm lengthening surgery if he can do that. I mean, outside of that, if he's not gonna do that, then at least he's gonna have to like fine tune his skills a little bit more.
Yeah,
and also just get stronger, right? Which comes with experience.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, career-wise, he should be fine. Again, as you know, you keep mentioning he's a rookie. You know what I mean? But I think, honestly, the way he handles this offseason is going to be key, right? Because, like, the playoffs, I feel like, kind of exposed him a little bit. It just in terms of he's a rookie again. But the way guys are going after him in this playoffs, going forward, you know, they're going to have a much stronger lineup. But they're going to have a much stronger schedule next year.
Yeah.
And guys are going to be coming for him. They're going to be seeing him as one of the weaker links, if not the weakest link. And you got to be prepared for that. Yeah. You know, this is a dog-eat-dog world, man. It's a bunch of alphas out there, right? So if you show that you're weak, no matter the sport, they are going to come after you with, like, you know, with guns blazing. So if I'm him, like, once I get that Sergio over with, boy, man, like,
I'm hitting
he's gonna really put some work in, man.
Yeah,
he wax off like the Karate Kid. He's got to do some shit.
He needs to hit the weight room, hit it hard, get a personal chef. I don't know, but he, like, the way that they were bull rushing him around and just kind of tossing him around, like, that's not a good sign for a left tackle. And the irony of it is, you know, he came out of college and he was highly rated. I think he only had like 5 sacks in 4 years or 5 years, like 5 total sacks he gave up. But I mean, this is the NFL. Like, this isn't college. You're going against the best of the best. You're going against other guys that are 6'4", 6'5", just as big as you are, stronger and hella faster than you.
Who are the man coming out of college too?
Hmm?
I said, who are the man coming out of college too? You know, it plays a big difference. I remember I heard Charles Barkley say it best. He's like, anytime you get up to the next level, it's like he always thought of himself as starting back at the bottom of the totem pole and then working your way up. Then you make it to college, you're back at the bottom, you're working your way up. You get to the NBA or you get to the professionals, back to the bottom, you got to work your way up, right?
Yep,
I'm a firm believer. He's at the bottom right now. So, I mean, if you can flip the narrative, the good news is this could be the worst you'll ever see him.
Oh, you know what I mean?
But he's got to flip the narrative. He definitely has to flip that narrative.
And he knows, like, he got dominated. He basically got home for all 4 playoff games. He knows what he has to work on at this point. The Patriots know what he has to work on. So, I mean, next year will be his true year. If he struggles again this year, then they're probably going to put him to guard or they're going to make him a backup, you know. I'm just hoping that they get this year. They're probably going to have to draft another tackle probably in the early rounds. Because their other guy, Morgan Moses, on the right side, guy's 35 years old. he played well enough, but I mean, he's 35 turning 36 next year, so he's probably on the verge of retiring. So yeah, they're gonna most likely have to either replace both tackles or at least one tackle minimum next year. So O-line is they need to figure out those positions. That's the first thing. Drake May he's a good player, but he needs time back there. If he doesn't have the time to scan the field and get that ball out to the intermediary part of the field or even like the deep part of the field, it's the offense isn't going to work. It's really not going to work.
Yeah. Mark, CJ Stroud is like, now you know what it feels like. See? See how that feels?
It's funny.
I want to quote this poet by the name of Lloyd Christmas, who famously said, to the point where he's talking to his boy, and he was like, you know, you made all these mistakes. You went and you came and you did this, and you totally redeemed yourself. Sam Darnold totally redeemed himself. Because to me, I'm like, I look at him and I'm kind of like, yes, he did, but there's some caveats there. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, he didn't play bad. Like, one thing I can say is that this guy has played for two different teams, completely different teams, and both years he's gone 14-3 and 14-3. I don't think there's any other person in the NFL that's ever done that in the history of NFL that have played for two different teams and had back-to-back 14-3 records. But on the same note, he did have 20 turnovers during the season. That's not good, and that's common. Yeah, that's like 14 interceptions, and I think he had 6 fumbles or something. Like, there was a patch where the Seahawks were not playing that well, and the defense was basically carrying them because, you know, this guy was just putting up picks. But I mean, you know, if anything, and that's a redemption story for everybody. You know, he played for a lot of bad teams. He played for the Jets. Then he moved into Carolina.
He was back up on the 49ers.
Yeah, he basically did the whole world tour in terms of the teams, right? Yeah. From east all the way to west. And, you know, finally he came across a team with a good young coach, excellent defense, and he has some really good pieces. I mean, the Jigma is still – he's a stellar wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, and Kenneth Walker, they got to keep Kenneth Walker now. Like, he was going to be a free agent this year, but this guy's the MVP of the Super Bowl. If they drop him, they'd look like complete asses. There's no way they're going to do that now, right? He's probably going to get paid because they're probably going to want to run it back next year. So,
yeah, it's, you know, he's definitely proved himself as a winner. You know what I mean? And I think regardless of how the Super Bowl went, whether we won or lost, I think he's proven himself that he's a winner. Because, again, to lose 6 games in 2 years with 2 different teams, I mean,
yeah,
there's nothing to sneeze at. That's huge, right?
Oh, 100%.
That's really huge. So essentially, he's won 31 games in the last 2 years. Like, that's big, including playoffs. That's huge.
And look how the Vikings collapsed without him.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest test right there. The Vikings literally collapsed. They were nowhere even close to playoff contention this year.
I'm telling you right now, they don't get their shit together next season. I'm telling you right now, Justin Jefferson is going to be going crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know if he's that type of personality. You know what I mean? So I don't want to put that on him like he's a diva. But, like, you can't have the season that you've been having the last few years and then go down the tubes this year while that quarterback that was still need a ball and making it an All-Pro is now winning Super Bowls and making another wide receiver, helping another wide receiver be great. And then you're coming in year two, you know, without Darnold, and you're doing the same shit again. Like, no, that is, I'm telling you, he's going to, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be squeaking loud as hell.
Listen, he was already pissed this year, man.
Like, yeah,
he's,
I know.
He's seeing guys like, you know, he's watching other wide receivers. He's watching Pickens. He's watching other guys that have gone to other teams and just absolutely excelled. And he's sitting there with basically a rookie quarterback because the guy got injured last year. He got injured. He didn't even make it out of the preseason. He got injured during the preseason. Yeah. And then he came in this year and he was terrible. Like, I mean, Yeah, and I still don't understand why they gave. I mean, okay, I kind of understand why they got rid of Darnold, and it's because Darnold completely collapsed in the playoffs last year in the first round of the playoffs. Like he was throwing picks and so on, right? But still, man, he 14-3. Like, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. They should have re-signed him at least as insurance, just in case the rookie that they're bringing back didn't work out. But they decided to let him walk, and now they're in search of a quarterback. They need a quarterback badly.
Yeah, badly.
Badly. Justin
Jefferson. I don't think McCarthy is the answer. Like honestly, McCarthy kind of reminds me a bit of like a rough rookie season, like kind of like a Josh Allen. But the only difference is Josh Allen didn't have that number one receiver, whereas McCarthy has like one of the top two wide receivers in the game, maybe three at worst. Listen, you know what I mean? So like that's not the answer. And you had a good running game, and you had a good you had a good O-line or a decent O-line.
Yeah.
Like that's where it's like, yeah, that doesn't look good. Like if I'm them, you got to get at least get a veteran QB so that if he's not playing well, you can throw that QB out there at least to get the offense moving.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
But with Darnold though, I mean, again, he's a winner. Is he now considered like one of the elite QBs? Hell no. Hell no.
Oh, what? No.
Hell no. Not at all.
He's good at
it. You know what? I would say he's an elite game manager. How about that? I'll say that. He's an elite game manager, and he has a chance to work on that consistency every night. As long as he has the right coaching staff and the right pieces around him, it looks like going forward, you're going to get some level of consistency as a game manager, as a great game manager.
Yep.
And that's not even a knock when he say it that way, because that's what he was. And it's not a knock on him. I think he was an elite game manager, not just a good one. He was an elite one. Yep. And you can win with an elite game manager if you have the right pieces around you.
100%. Absolutely. I mean, there are several elite game managers in the league right now, and they're successful.
Yeah, Purdy's one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it is possible to make it to the Super Bowl. It's even possible to win a Super Bowl with one of them. So, I mean, he came up big in the games that he had to. And, yeah, I mean, what can you say about that? He is a winner. I'll give that to him 100%.
Yeah. So, what do you think going forward with the Seahawks? You think they can repeat?
I think so. They have quite a few free agents. I was just looking at that. Yeah. They have quite a few free agents, but they still have a decent amount of cap space, so they should be able to bring in some really good free agents, draft picks, and so on. The problem is once you win the Super Bowl, it's almost like your team gets cannibalized, right? People are going to want your defensive coordinator. People are going to want, like, they're going to be looking at your coaches. Some of the players on your team, all of a sudden, even the guys that are, you know, they're good, not excellent, but good. They're going to want big money. You know, like, I mean, look what happened to the Eagles. That's happened to Eagles. That's even happened to your Niners at one point in time, right? Yep. So it's hard to stay on top when there's so much change that occurs from year to year. But I still think they have a really good team, really good defense. You know, their offense is good enough, 100%, and they've been very good at times. So I think they could absolutely 100% bring it back. The question is the Rams. What are the Rams going to do? That's what the question is. Because I feel like in the NFC, the Rams are the only team that could really give them a run. And they're division foes too. Sorry, Calvin.
I push back on that a little bit. Only because, like, again, if what they say about the rumors of the practice field is true. I don't know, like I said, we have to train at UCLA's field, like travel down the coast of California and work that out. Something, I don't know. But if they're healthy, like remember, we're getting back Bosa and Warner.
Yeah, true.
That alone is a huge difference. You know what I mean? Huge difference to the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. But I mean, is there any guarantee they're going to be healthy next year?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the problem, right? Listen, when you guys have the full complement of your team with no injuries, you guys are basically fantastic. Because I know, because I watched you guys play like the first four or five games at the beginning of the season, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize they were that good, honestly.
Yeah.
And that was without that was without Ayuk, right? Mm-hmm. And Ayuk was the number one guy. You know, and Mac Jones was part of it too. Mac Jones played really, really well. Like, he played so well, I was actually pretty shocked. He played how we won. The Patriots wanted him to play when he was a Patriot.
He got drafted, exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, his first season, even Mac Jones, his rookie season was good. They made it to the playoffs. I don't know if you remember that. Like, I mean, they played pretty well with him, right? And he had no weapons. And then the next year, they basically stripped the whole team. Belichick basically got rid of the whole line, started trading off the O-line players like they were nothing, and started putting in a whole bunch of backups. And, you know, he started trade away Jacoby Myers for nothing. And that was basically our best wide receiver at the time. And then he started drafting a whole bunch of nobodies. And that destroyed Mac Jones. You know, made the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, and all sorts of fucking shit. I don't know what happened to this guy. Maybe he had a stroke or something. But that's what destroyed Mac Jones when he was in the Patriots. And now you could see, like, I could even see the Vikings going after Mac Jones. I think that would be a very, 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 very good fit.
Interesting. I think that would
be an excellent fit. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after him and go after him hard. He's probably going to be
solid.
Yeah, he played solid. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, listen, if you can't succeed with Justin Jefferson as your fucking wide receiver,
I know.
You're not an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry.
That was a bad look. There was a lot of games. We harp it on McCarthy, man, but there was games where, like, you're legitimately watching him get like barely over 100 yards. You're like, how is that possible? One game okay, but there's like three or four games you're like, what's going on here?
Listen, like, man.
I always say JP Lausman numbers, man.
Yeah, yeah, it was disappointing. I know Vikings fans were pissed 100%, and he was pissed too. I mean, Justin Jefferson's pissed. He's looking around and he's seeing all the rest of these teams and all these rest of these wide receivers succeeding. I don't know. Did he even hit 1,000 yards this year? I don't even know.
Yeah, he did. He did at the last game of the year.
Okay, well, thank God
for that. But barely. Yeah, he barely got it. But that's the thing though, right? Football. It's stat driven, right? When you have this situation after a couple of years, that affects your money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when they come to the table, they're going to be like, well, you barely got over 1,000 yards. And you know why. You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with you. But that stuff counts against your contract, unfortunately, right? So, that's what I said. He will go off. That's why I remember in earlier pods, I was saying, like, if I'm Kansas City, I'm giving them picks, man. Yeah. You're gonna lose some guys. I'm like, imagine now you're throwing in. I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen now with Mahomes, but because he's tearing his ACL and all that. But it's football. He'll probably be back by the beginning of the year next year anyway. But again, you're throwing him with who's a wide else on the team? Xavier Worthy and
Thornton.
Rasheed Rice and stuff. Like, imagine him now. You're dropping him in that. Like, with those wideouts, holy shit, that's a whole different team now.
Listen, man, you drop him into any team, and all of a sudden,
like,
they're gonna look spectacular just because of him. You know, he's gonna take all the double teams away. Teams are gonna have to scheme against him because he's just so good. And yeah, I mean, a number one wide receiver. Like, I feel like for the Patriots, that's the one thing we were really missing on the offense. We need somebody that.
Right.
This isn't get open. We need an A.J. Brown. We need a Justin Jefferson. We need a Pickens. We need somebody like that could take the top off, that, you know, defensive backs are actually scared to play against, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, players like that, if you get a chance to get one, you need to grab them, man.
Got
to
get him.
Got to get him, yeah.
Gotta especially
for a young QB. Got to get him.
And that's the crazy part, too, because I'm asking the question if the Seahawks can repeat. It's too hard to say right now just because you still have the Eagles. You still have, again, you have the Rams. You have my Niners. You have the Lions. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even the Packers, too, if they can somewhat get their shit together. There's teams just in the NFC alone that can contend. And then you're not even ignoring. I don't want to ignore the variable where, like, there's always a team every year that pops up out of the woodworks who was shit the year before. And now they got their shit together and they're playing like a Like even like a Washington, for example, we don't know, right? If yep. McDaniels is healthy, Jalen Daniels is healthy, and
yep,
you know what I mean. Like you just don't know. You don't know which who that team is. You don't know. It could be Carolina. We don't know,
could
right?
Be, but, could even be the Giants, man.
It could be the Giants. You're right. It could be the Giants, but you know, it's gonna be somebody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. It could even be the Cowboys if they, depending how they draft defensively, it could even be them. Somebody's coming. There's gonna be one team that you're not prepared for. That's going to come and shake shit up. It's going to be somebody, you know what I mean? So that's, but the thing that goes that the Seahawks have for themselves though, is I didn't even realize this. They're the third youngest team in the league.
Yeah, that's good.
That's huge. That's, you know what I mean? I think they only have 9 players that's over the age of 30.
That's
nuts, man. So that's, to me, when I see that, I'm like, yeah, like it's interesting because, like I said, you got some rookies. That's the only thing is, though, you have some rookies at the end of the deal that they're gonna want their money, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Kenneth Walker is gonna want his money, you know what I mean? And to your point, like guys are already getting poached, like the OC that he's going to the Raiders,
yeah,
right? So Kyle Kubiak.
Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak's son.
Yes, absolutely.
So basically at that point, it's like, yeah, he's going to be out of there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to lose some pieces. It's just, and I think that's the quote unquote beauty of the NFL.
Yeah.
Because you win, and the way the salary cap is designed is designed to pick apart your winning team. So that like, you know what I mean? So like parity is king, and parity is what gives other teams hope, and it makes the league money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Dynasties are always great, but parity also, as you can see, it's a winning formula. Cause we haven't had, when was the last repeat champion that we've had? Was Kansas City, I think, maybe.
It was KC.
Right?
Yeah. It was KC early. Yeah. I think it was like 2022, 2023.
Yeah, something like that.
They were going to three-peat. Yeah, they're talking about three-peat.
Yeah, and then they lost last year to the Eagles. But prior to them, but again, that's because they have a supernova of Mahomes, right? He's like a freak of nature.
Yep, it's
true. But outside of that, like, when was the last? You don't really see repeat teams hopping up. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that really happens that much in the NFL anymore.
No, it's hard.
It's above parity. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to keep coaches. Hard to keep some of these players. You know, and the sport is designed. It's not a guaranteed contract league, so
exactly. You
got to get your money. So, like, you want to be loyal, but like, you got to get your. When you're an NFL player, you can't be like, you know what? I'm gonna leave a few million off the table so I can come run. No. Because you know, you tear your ACL, they're quick to cut you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, 100%. And when you come back the next year, don't think you're gonna get that big contract neither. They're gonna want you to show them what you can do. Like you literally have like maybe 3 to 5 years to make your money. If you don't make your money in between that time, you're probably not going to make your money, man. So I mean,
unless you're special, you know what I mean?
Unless you're special. If you're special, then it's completely different. But I mean, there's not too many guys that are that special that they could demand high dollars, you know, on their third or fourth contracts. Yeah. Most guys, I mean, their second contract is where they make their most money. And then by the third contract, you know, they're almost pushing 30 and
You're hanging on basically.
Fine, and you're basically just hanging on. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And you hear the horror stories too of guys who get to that end of the rookie contract and all of a sudden they're not getting the ball thrown to them the same way as before. They're not getting the plays called for them the same way as before. Yeah. You know, your backup all of a sudden is kind of equaling you in minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how that goes. They do that to screw you on your contract going forward afterwards. So that's why I'm like, it's designed to poach the assets from your team. It's just what it is. But that's the beauty of it, right? Like that is also the beauty of it. It's great for fan bases too, right? Because you always feel like you have a shot when you see these teams every year come out of the woodworks. You feel like you have a shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Give up hope unless you're like Arizona or something. But you don't give up hope.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what makes a team competitive. It's what makes NFL so competitive. Because if they had guaranteed contracts, I mean, we all want guaranteed contracts for the players. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the reason why they most likely don't give guaranteed contracts is because you could get injured at any time, and they don't want to pay you out for the next 3-4 years when you're literally sitting on the bench because you have a torn ACL and so on, right? The only thing guaranteed in the NFL is injuries. You're going to get injured at some point in time. You're going to get banged up. You're going to have a concussion. You know, that's why they pay you the big dollars. So, I mean,
that's it.
Yeah.
No, it is what it is. Before we wrap, though, what did you think of that Super Bowl performance with Bad Bunny?
I don't know. You know what my problem is, Calvin? I don't understand Spanish. I didn't understand a word he was saying. You know, I watched it and I knew there was a whole bunch of like it was extremely political, which I'm okay with. Like I'm okay with politics, right? It was very political. You know, I saw a few things inside there which I found interesting. I don't think it was a bad Super Bowl, but it's not my type of music. And to be honest with you, I didn't really understand what they were saying. I went on YouTube after and they did a whole breakdown of what he was saying and what. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big Bad Bunny fan, to be honest with you. I'm not a big Bad Bunny fan. So, I mean, I didn't think it was bad. But, I can't compare it to past Super Bowls with 50 Cent and Eminem and Jay-Z and all those guys. Like, I mean, that's my type of music, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think about
it? I thought the performance was fire, to be honest with you. Like, because really? To me, it reeked of culture.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it felt relatable to any Caribbean folk. You know what I mean? Even though we're not Puerto Rican, but there's certain elements and certain things in there that reminded me of like Trinidad and being in the West Indies.
I saw the Guyanese flag in there at one point in time. I saw the Guyanese flag and I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, it's the Guyana flag. And I was like,
yeah. They Haiti and stuff. And to me, I'm not even talking the flags. I'm just talking certain things that you're seeing. It reminded me of. It reminded me of the West Indies. It reminded me of Miami. It reminded me of the Bronx. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of elements in there to me that was cool.
Yeah.
Also, because I don't speak Spanish and I didn't have my Rosetta Stone or my Duolingo with me, it was hard to understand. You know what I mean?
I
have a half Spanish nephew, and this is where I feel like I failed. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I should have been understanding this by now. By now, I should have been very fluent in Spanish, or at least I could be able to carry somewhat of a conversation. I'm sorry, Mikhail, I failed you.
<It's all good>.
but honestly though, I thought it was I was amazed by the detail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A
lot of detail. Like the detail of it, the performance of it to me was better than actually to me, detail wise, it was better than Kendrick's performance.
Oh, you thought
just
so.
Yeah, just in terms of the detail and the caution design and all that stuff, to me that was better.
You can tell that they definitely thought it through. Like that's
100%.
Like the 100%. Different scenes when he kind of fell through the ceiling and fell into somebody, like almost like their living room. He gave us a war to the little boy. I don't know if you recognize that part, but that little boy was the one that was supposedly Ice grabbed him from out of his kindergarten. His elementary school, grabbed him, took him to his house, and used him as bait to bring his father, who was illegal, outside. And then they grabbed him, and they threw him in the back of a truck, both of them back in the truck, and then they drove him down to Flippin, Texas, which is like 600 kilometers away from where they lived. And they were there for over 10 days. So that was a big story in the U.S. So I saw him, and I was like, oh, shoot, okay. Like, I get that.
Apparently, though. I think he was an actor. But he represented that kid though.
Oh, I thought he was a kid. Somebody told me this morning that was a kid.
I think it was an actor.
Like, oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah. But he represented that kid though.
Yeah. So like I said, I got the symbolism. I got the they had a ton of different types of scenes. I appreciate that. It's just with me, he's not my type of artist in terms of music wise. Like I don't even know what that, I guess Spanish sort of music. Reggaeton. Yeah. Like reggaeton. I'm not a big reggaeton guy. Right.
Okay. And honestly, neither am I. Like I can't name you one Bad Bunny song. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know, but I respected the performance though. I'm like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, it was the greatest performance of all. Like, I'm not going to do that. There's been better performances in history. However, though, I was impressed with the details of how everything was laid out. It was funky and fun. I did enjoy it that way, even though, again, like, I couldn't understand a word that was being said, but yeah. But it was fire. I'll give it that. Performance wise, it was great. I know how this translates to Spotify streams and all that stuff. Like, I didn't get a chance to see what the percentage was of the jump, but it's usually like in your catalog, it's like your catalog jumps like an extra 100-something% to like 300-400%.
Absolutely. So
for him, I mean, he's already the most, it's funny. We don't understand a word he says, but he's actually the most famous performer in the world right now.
You know what?
Not close. Yeah, he's ahead of Taylor Swift in them. Like, he's...
I heard that. And I was personally shocked because, yeah, like I said, I'm not a Bad Bunny fan. I don't know any of his songs. I don't think I've ever seen a video. The only reason I know his name, Bad Bunny, is because I think he was dating a Kardashian at one point or something like that. And I heard that name. I was like, it was something like that, right? Yeah. That's the only reason I knew who he was. But then somebody was telling me, I think it was, I have this a secretary that works for me, and she was telling me that he's like one of the largest artists in the world. Like, bigger than Taylor Swift, bigger than all of them. And I was like, whoa.
Yep.
Didn't realize it. Didn't know. Jeez. But I understand now why they want him for the Super Bowl. I mean,
yeah, that's makes sense. Different
generation of fans that he's bringing to football to watch it. So I get it.
Well, Kendrick broke the record last year, and he broke Kendrick's record this year, right?
Did he really?
Yeah. By an extra 2 million views. So, yeah, I think 135 million people are watching the performance.
That's crazy. So,
yeah. It's wild because the same thing. I didn't know Roger. I saw something a couple of years ago. I want to say maybe like 2-3 years ago where he went back to Puerto Rico and he set up. It was cool. They set up a concert in the middle of a neighborhood. Mm. It was in Puerto Rico. He basically got on top of the gas station, like a Texaco gas station, and just had some speakers and performed. Roger, it looked like all of Puerto Rico was there.
Wow.
You saw people as far as you can see. It looked like millions of people. I mean, I don't know what the numbers were, but this shit was I never saw anything like that. I thought that was fire. So I was like, yo, Bad Bunny's like this. And then talking to my music heads, they're like, you didn't know? I'm like, no, I didn't know. I knew it was big. I didn't know he was that big.
Yeah, that's
like he shut the country down for that. That was insane. But they say everywhere he goes, it's the same shit. Like, he's a phenomenon in terms of his impact on his music and just the windfall of his popularity. You know, like, that's where he's at right now. And so, like I said, it makes sense to bring him for something like that, right? For the Super Bowl.
And kudos to him for putting Puerto Rico on the map. I don't feel like Puerto Rico gets enough exposure.
It doesn't.
I mean, there's still Americans that could swear that this guy is an immigrant. And even though Puerto Rico is part of the United States, they don't realize it and they don't really recognize him. Like, they don't have any real representation in Congress or anything along those lines, which is sad.
Yeah.
They're kind of like that redheaded stepchild that nobody really wants. But good for him for putting them on the map. You know, I saw nothing but hate online, on Twitter and so on.
Yeah, it's either people loved it or they hated it. Exactly. But the people who hated it, to me, was like, I'm like, man, like, it's fine. It's a 15, 20 movie performance. You'll live. You'll be fine.
That's what I'm saying. And and it's funny because I had a discussion with somebody in my office the other day. Well, just yesterday, actually. She was like, I hated it. He spoke all in Spanish, blah, blah, blah. It was so political, and I wish they would keep politics out of football. And I was like, come on, man. It was like 15 to 20 minutes. Like 15 to 20 minutes, and the Super Bowl was like 4.5 hours. Like, it's not going to kill you for 15 to 20 minutes. Right. And you know what? If you don't like it, turn off the TV or go and watch something else and then come back.
Yeah. Go on Instagram.
Yeah. I hate it when people just like to shit on things. And it's like, if you don't like it, turn it off. You know, I see stuff that I don't like online, I don't watch it. I see movies that don't appeal to me, or I think appeal to my daughter, I don't watch it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's your choice, but you can't blame you can't blame an artist for wanting to be an artist and wanting to do something creative, especially with something that's revolving around their life right now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, it's Come on, it's just
you saw people complaining. I saw somebody tweet this where they're like, the amount of people that are complaining while drinking tequila and guacamole, eating guacamole and chips exactly. and dip, and they're complaining like you're digesting the culture while complaining about it at the same time. You know what I mean? While you're watching the game, so it's like it's hilarious to see. But to me, it's funny that you like on this perspective where. It really is that performance really is made for TV because when you see the shots of like while people are watching it in the crowd, like you can't really follow what's happening. You know what I mean? Because of all the caution design and everything, like yeah. they're showing about the first 3 minutes of the performance because of the trees that they had and all that stuff. I think they're paying the people that are basically walking trees. They're paying them about $18 an hour.
I was just about to say that, Calvin. They couldn't put real trees on the field because they felt that it would mess up the turf. So those are actually people that were standing up there with costumes on, which blows my mind because I thought it was real trees. He looked like he was walking through a cornfield at one point, and I was like, this is different, right?
Yeah, that's just said. It was dope. That's just said. It's very detailed. It was dope that way, but it plays well for TV. But if you're in the stadium, it doesn't play that well. You got to basically watch it on the Jumbotron. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm wondering if at some point the Super Bowl is going to get back to the point where it's just a stage and you're just performing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at least you're getting a chance to see everything. You know what I mean? As opposed to how this was. As great as it was, I'm just saying, like, for us watching it at home, it plays amazing. But I think if you're in the stadium, I wonder how well it plays. You know what I mean? Because you can't always see everything that's happening. You're missing a lot of shit. True. All the celebrities that was dancing, like part of like in front of the bodega and stuff like that, like Jessica Alba and Cardi B and all. You didn't. Jessica I mean, Alba. If you're in the stands, you didn't see that. You didn't. You wouldn't know that at all.
No. And I agree. You wouldn't be able to see it. I mean, I recognized a few people there, and I was like, wait a minute, is that Jessica Alba? And I looked closer, and I was like, oh shit, Cardi's there. Alba was there. They had a lot of Puerto Rican actors there as well. And I was like, oh shoot. Okay. Like they brought them all out, which I can appreciate, man. I appreciate the culture. I do appreciate the culture. So
Lady Gaga's performance was good. At the same time, I was like, why the hell is she here?
You know what, Calvin, the one thing I got to say about that Lady Gaga song, I love that song, but I didn't like it with the beat that they had, that they were playing with. I felt it was a little bit off. That's the one thing when I was looking at it, I was like, I love that song. I listen to the song on the radio all the time. But just with that beat and that tempo that they had, I found it was kind of off. But aside from that, I mean, listen, it's, you know what? It was different and I could appreciate different.
Yeah.
So, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays for next year. But like I said, to me, I'm wondering if they're going to kind of go back to how it was with just the stage. You know what I mean? Like you can design it how you want, but you want everybody to experience it. Like if you spent the $5,000-$6,000 to go into the stadium and watch it, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like you're not gonna see things the same way on TV than you are in person, but you wanna be able to take it in that too if you're spending all that money, right? That's all I'm saying. But
100%. And I agree with you with that. Like if you were at the back, there's no way you would have been seeing anything. Right.
No.
But even at the front with the trees and everything, it was hard to kind of follow. It was like more like a music video, I could say, than an actual concert. Right. Yeah. Like just with the cinematography and the way they were following him. Like at one point he was kind of walking through the I don't even want to say forest, but walking through the grass fields.
Yeah.
And he gave the ring to the man who went and proposed to his girlfriend. I heard that was a real marriage.
Yeah, it was supposed to be real marriage. Yeah, real marriage.
That was interesting. Yeah, but just so many different things to it that I don't think people in the stadium they didn't have the ability to see everything, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to past Super Bowls, I can't remember which one it was, but which one was it where they had like floating? It was almost looked like floating, a floating stage. Was it?
I think it was Rihanna.
Was it Rihanna? Yeah, it was Rihanna. Like that was interesting. Like, you know, the stages were floating, they were kind of moving around and she was walking from stage to stage. Like everybody was able to see that. So anyways,
it's made for TV more. Like that performance is definitely made for TV. But it was, but like I said, but with that said, it was dope though. Like to me, just the visuals of it was, symbolic. So like he did a good job with that for sure.
Yeah.
Before we wrap, what are you looking forward to in the off season now?
Well, free agency. Free agency is going to be coming up more sooner than later. I think it starts next month. So you know, for my team specifically, they just need more good players, man. You know, they need to pick up a left guard. They definitely need a number one wide receiver, whether it's Pickens,
I heard he's going to get the franchise tag.
I think he might, but I don't know if he's going to be happy with that. Cause right now they're paying, my God, what's his name? The other Cowboy wide receiver. I got Dez Bryant stuck in my head because I was watching a video with him.
Yeah. I know.
I got him stuck in my head.
CD Lamb.
Sorry. They're paying CD Lamb like $33, $34 million. Pickens is going to want $33, $34 million. And I think with all the holes that they have on their in their defense,
they have to fix that. That's why they're franchise tagging them.
Yeah. I just don't know if he's going to play on the franchise tag, right? If he goes out to the free market, somebody's going to give him like $33, $34 million a year for the next 3-4 years. You know, and you know Pickens, if he's not happy, he's going to make everybody fucking miserable, right? So, yeah, they're probably going to try and franchise tag him, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, you know, I think my team also needs a pass rusher. You know, Hendrickson is available from the Bengals. I hope they pay him, or they could possibly get
Max Crosby. Probably the top free agent right now.
Yes, yeah. Or Max Crosby. It doesn't look like he wants to play for the Raiders anymore. Like he wants out. So, but there's a lot of good guys out there. Definitely a lot of good guys out there.
Yeah, I wonder if Tampa's going to keep Mike Evans because I see here that he's also a free agent. He's an unrestricted one. So I wonder if he's going to stick around for another year or two or what have you. Because, I mean, his whole career has been there, right? And they could still use him. It's not like he's washed up. I'm not saying you give him a big contract, mind you, but, you know, he's not going to get like $30 million and all that stuff. But, you know, I wonder if they're going to work up some sort of team-friendly contract and stay.
Maybe. I think he's already spoken about wanting to stay on the same team for the whole of his career. So I can see him doing it. I mean, the problem with him right now is I think he's still, when he's on the field, he's good. But it's starting to get to the point where he's getting a lot of injuries, right?
Yeah.
Hamstrings,
man. Yeah.
It's like hamstrings. Every year it's hamstring. You know, he's going to be, I think he's 30 years old or maybe over 30 now at this point. He's
32 right now.
32? Yeah. So he's at the point where wide receivers, they start losing their speed. They're not as explosive. I mean, he can still get open. And he still knows how to get open.
Yeah.
But he's not like the old Mike Evans. He's not in his prime. Let's just say that. So it'll be interesting.
No, which is expected, right? Like at this stage. But I mean, the free agent class isn't like really like heavy. You know what I mean? It's a lot of older players from what I'm looking at this list here. You know, because you got Travis Kelce, but he's probably going to retire. You know, I don't see him coming back. And like my Niners, again, we just got to get healthy. Because I mean, look, we lost who was it? We lost Kittle. I forgot about Kittle too to mention him because he blew his Achilles too. Yeah. Like he ain't coming back anytime soon either. He might not even play next year. You know what I mean? Depending on how his progress goes.
Yeah.
So like we got some shit that we got to fix too. We got to get some, and then it doesn't look like Ayuk's coming back. So we got to get some players too. We got to get we got to work that those trades or get those right draft picks. But we got some work to do ourselves.
Listen, you know Jennings. I think Jennings is going to be a free agent as well. Not great at all. Yeah, you guys need a number one wide receiver. That other guy, Purcell, he didn't work out. Like,
well, he was hurt too. He was hurt a lot.
But he's always hurt.
Yeah. And Calvin, that was only his second year, right? He's only his second year, but
I know. But what I was about to say is, coming out of college, he was hurt a lot in college as well. And that was always the knock on him. Like it's always something with him. And now, you know, he comes into the NFL, and I find it's the same thing too. like some of these players, it's not going to get better. If you're hurt in college, chances are you're going to get hurt. It's going to be worse when the NFL. You're going against guys that are faster, stronger, bigger. So, yeah. But, yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see what happens in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I saw was they're saying how Deshaun Watson's last two accusers, their cases have been dismissed. So there's officially no more cases against them now, unless, you know. But then again, it's the offseason. Let's see what happens. But there's no more cases against them. So at this stage, you know what I mean? They're like, you know, it looks like he might actually contend for that starting spot, which to me is wild. You know what I mean? But like, it's Cleveland. They're probably gonna give him a shot. The amount of money they're paying him. I'm guaranteeing you, he's going to start or he's gonna compete for that job. It's just too much money to put that on the bench, and they're not gonna cut him. I think he has like 2 years left on his deal, so Calvin, they're not eating $100 million.
Calvin, that man has not played in what, 3 years now?
I know, but the money's fully guaranteed. You know what I mean? If this is like a normal contract, we just cut him and just let it, you know, go against the cap. But it's guaranteed.
Listen, at this point, I would just cut him, to be honest with you. I get it. They spent a shitload of money on them. But at this point, they have to admit that they made a mistake. And just, I feel like they need to just move on. You know, if you want to go with Shador, start Shador. Start Shador. If he sucks, he sucks. Bring in a veteran behind him just in case he sucks. And yeah, and hope that your team is shitty enough that next year you might get a better draft pick, because they'll probably have some really good quarterbacks coming out next year. So
yeah,
I don't think there's that many this year. Like, there's only like maybe two, maybe three tops, but the top two are like, I've only heard of maybe two quarterbacks that are coming out this year, and one of them is probably going to be taken by the Raiders, who have the number one pick, and that's Fernandez or Fernando, Fernandoza, or whatever his name is. But yeah, but it'll be interesting. Like, I mean, I like to watch free agency. I like to watch the draft. So those are exciting times for me as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing the program.
Whenever you're ready, Calvin.
We're gonna set that up. It's I'm gonna try to set it up the end of this month. If not, it'll definitely be in March. But we will do that. That will get done. I have two old school sport movies that I'm looking to do in the next couple of months, next 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks. So we definitely have some work to do. And I will be watching the program again and just breaking that. Yo, I'm looking forward to that already. That's gonna be jokes already, man.
Listen, man, prime Halle Berry. Come on, guy. Doesn't get any better than that.
Place at the table.
Place at the table. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, sir. But thank you, man, for, you know, as always, doing this pod. Shout out to Carey, man. He tried to trek through the snow in Montreal, man. But that's Montreal for you. Montreal is going to Montreal, man. It's you know, it's called winter in Montreal. You don't know. Might be a nice day one day. Might be minus 40 degrees and 30 centimeters of snow. You just don't know what you're dealing with.
Yep, facts. Facts. All facts, man. Yep. Thanks for having me, Cal. Always a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, man. So we'll talk, sir. Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the Av Podcast. Special shout out, as always, goes out to Roger Canada for hopping on and ending off the NFL season with that final episode until, you know, maybe the draft or whatever comes next in football. We will be doing that program review. I've been teasing it for a minute, but we're going to figure out a way to do this in the next few weeks. If not this month, sometime in March, but we definitely will get that done. And once again, also, the 300th episode of the Av Podcast officially will be out next week as well. Stay tuned for that one. Been a journey, man. It's been a journey. Very proud of my journey, I might add. But yeah, very, very proud of the experience and everything. It's been 10 years now that I've been doing it. So I'm looking forward to do many, many more of these, man. And on a high level on top of that, too. With that said as well, tomorrow I'm going to be releasing a episode of Memory Lane. I actually replayed this during the holidays for myself, and
was die laughing at this. So you'll see tomorrow. Was based on a TV show review that we did. I think it was at the beginning of the pandemic, as far as I remember, but I gotta look at the date again and see. But either way, that one will be out tomorrow. As always, hit those like and subscribe buttons. Hit those 5 stars for me, please, and thank you. Once again, hit those catalog as well if you want to go and backtrack into everything that I've done, which is SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that is SouthShoreAv.com. And thank you. Thank you for locking into this as always. For Roger Callender, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the latest episode of the Av Podcast right here on South Shore Av Radio. All right, until tomorrow, we out. Peace.